Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging. I'll get to all the niceties in a little bit, but I want to read some stuff and I would like you to listen for the next 8-10 minutes. I'll tell you what I'm reading from in just a minute, but I would just like you to listen. Some things have happened in the last couple weeks that have reminded me of the purpose of what I've been trying to do for over 25 years and what this radio show has been doing for 18 years. And I want to refocus. Sometimes you can get down in the weeds too much, and I want to refocus a little bit. And I'm going to be reading to you from a book. I have read some of this on the air before, but I want you to listen. And then I'll tell you who wrote the book. And at the end, I'm going to tell you to go out and buy it and read it. And if you're still unmoved and don't understand after reading this, then I don't know where to go beyond that. But I just want you to listen. This is Bob Scrivano on Assets and Aging. I'll get to all the other niceties in a minute. But as I'm sitting here having my coffee, I'd like you to just listen. So unless I tell you differently, I'm reading from this book. And this book was written by a doctor, whose parents were doctors, I'm going to be talking about this a lot in the upcoming weeks and months, and get back to refocusing on what really happens as we age. Modern scientific capability has profoundly altered the course of human life. People live longer and better than at any other time in history. Just listen for the next couple minutes. But scientific advances have turned the process of aging and dying into medical experiences, matters to be managed by healthcare professionals, and we in the medical world have proved alarmingly unprepared for it. The reality has been largely hidden. As the final phases of life become less familiar to people. As recently as 1945, most deaths occurred in the home. By the 1980s, just 17% did. Those who somehow did die at home likely died too suddenly to make it to the hospital, say from a massive heart attack, stroke, or violent injury, or were too isolated to get somewhere that could provide help. Across not just the United States, but also the entire industrialized world, the experience of advanced aging and death has shifted to hospitals and nursing homes. I want to just think about that for a minute. As recently as 1945, almost all deaths occurred at home. By the 1980s, just 17% did. I want to read again. This is a book about the modern experience of mortality. I'll tell you more about the author in a minute. But I just want you to listen for the next few minutes. Open your heart and just listen. This is a book about the modern experience of mortality, about what it's like to be creatures who age and die, how medicine has changed the experience and how it hasn't. Where our ideas about how to deal with our finitude have got the reality wrong. As I pass a decade in surgical practice and become middle-aged myself, I find that neither I nor my patients find our current state tolerable. But I have also found it unclear what the answer should be, or even whether any adequate ones are possible. I have the writer's and scientist's faith, however, that by pulling back the veil and peering in close, a person can make sense of what is most confusing or strange or disturbing. You don't have to spend much time with the elderly, I continue to read, or those with terminal illness to see how often medicine fails the people it is supposed to help. And I'm going to add, and the people around those people and groups and organizations who think they're helping fail to actually help. The waning days and go back to reading, the waning days of our lives are given over to treatments that addle our brains and sap our bodies for a sliver's chance of benefit. They are spent in institutions, nursing homes, and intensive care units where regimented, anonymous routines cut us off from all the things that matter to us in life. Our reluctance to honestly examine the experience of aging and dying has increased the harm we inflict on people and denied them the basic comforts they most need. Lacking a coherent view of how people might live successfully all the way to their very end, we have allowed our fates to be controlled by the imperatives of medicine, technology, and strangers. I'm going to go find my next little place. I want to read just a little more, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. He's talking about one of his patients, so when I read, there'll be some names. It's a little out of context, but you'll get the point. There remains one problem with this way of living. Our reverence for independence takes no account of the reality of what happens in life. Sooner or later, independence will become impossible. I want to read that again. Sooner or later, independence will become impossible. Sooner or later, these are my words, you're going to need help. Your parents are going to need help. Your grandma's going to need help. You will not be able to take care of yourself at some point in your life. I read again. Serious illness or infirmity will strike. It is as inevitable as sunset. And then a new question arises. If independence is what we live for, what do we do when it can no longer be sustained? In 1992, Alice turned 84. Don't worry about who Alice is. Just listen. She was in striking health. She'd had to make a transition to false teeth and undergo removal of cataracts in both eyes. That was all. She'd had no major illnesses or hospitalization. She still went to the gym with her friend Polly and did her own shopping and took care of her house. Jim and Nan offered her the option of turning their basement into an apartment for her. She might find it easier to be there, they said. She wouldn't hear of it. She had no intention of not living on her own, but things began to change. I continue to read. On a mountain vacation with the family, Alice didn't turn up for lunch. She was found sitting in the wrong cabin, wondering where everyone was. We'd never seen her confused like that before. The family kept a close eye on her for the next few days, but nothing else untoward happened. We all let the matter drop. Then Nan, visiting Alice at home one afternoon, noticed black and blue bruises up and down her leg. Had she fallen? No, Alice said at first, but later she admitted that she'd taken a spill going down the wooden basement stairs. As an aside, folks, if that person you love and you know they've fallen once, they've fallen five times. It is one of the most hidden things on the planet Earth and the hardest things for us to admit, that Grandma is falling. I continue reading. It was just a slip, she insisted. Have you heard that before? It could have happened to anyone. She'd be more careful next time. Soon, however, she had more falls, several of them. No broken bones, but the family was getting worried. So Jim did what all families naturally do nowadays. He had her see a doctor. The doctor did some tests. He found that she had thinning bones and recommended calcium. He fiddled with her medications and gave her some new prescriptions. But the truth was he didn't know what to do. We were not bringing him a fixable problem. Alice was unsteady. Her memory was slipping. The problems were only going to increase. Her independence would not be sustainable for long now, but he had no answers or direction or guidance. He could not even describe what to expect would happen. I'm going to read you some stuff again a little later on, but I just want you to let that sink in for a minute. And while I introduce myself. Good morning. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host here for 18 years on Assets and Aging, and trying to help people in the aging process for 25 to 30 years. I don't even know. I'm 71 myself. I am aging. I am a realist about the issues of aging. I refuse to play around the edges. I refuse to pretend that things are going to be different than what they really are and what's really observed. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the you know what they're talking about. And there's a lot of them that don't. I have a California insurance license. Not unhappy about that. I've had one for 45 years, and it's very helpful. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County that allows me to prepare legal documents at your request, such as trusts, wills, powers of attorney, and so on. I'm a notary. I cannot fix refrigerators. I am not securities. I have to put that in too, because somewhere someone will be mad. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I'll give you a really quick thing. I had someone in my office last week who had $800,000 in a brokerage account, and last year she made $106 in interest. So I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. What else? I don't know. There's probably something else I forgot in there. I apologize. But I have to say all that stuff. Also, everything we talk about here is my opinion only. It's usually a pretty good opinion based on a lot of observation and fact and reality, but it's still my opinion only. You can reach me in several different ways. My phone number is 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, Assets, A-S-S, E-T-S, and Aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. And you can go there and get information. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. By the way, I have my first workshop ever in Elk Grove coming up this next week. Ever. So you might want to check that. You can also check the B, the weeks before my workshops for my ads there. But if you'd like to come to one of my workshops, you can sign up. They're free, and they're really good. What else? You can ask me a question. You can send me an email. You can set up an appointment. You can get a hold of me so that you can help your family. Also, you can listen to my archived radio shows and podcasts. I do a podcast every Wednesday at noon. They're usually live. Sometimes I have to pre-record them, but they're usually live. And again, you can always follow Assets and Aging on my website and right here on the radio. I just read from a book called Being Mortal, B-E-I-N-G, Mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L. And it was written by a doctor named Dr. Atul Gawande, A-T-U-L, and his last name is Gawande, G-A-W-A-N-D-E. Every human being on earth should read the book. There is nothing quite like it. It is one of the most real, it is one of the most, first of all, it's very moving. It's truthful. But more important in my world, it's real. I am just really exhausted with people who don't live in reality when it comes to the issues of aging. I talked to someone the other day, an organization that supposedly helps people with very bad diseases, and their view on life is so Pollyanna-ish, I can't even begin to tell you. They're taking people who have a terminal disease and leading them to believe that it's going to be better, and it's not going to be better, and they're not preparing families for the inevitable reality of what's coming and how they need to deal with it. I wish I could tell you more, but I can't. And I can only tell you that so many people come in and see me. And in fact, it's one of the things that I suffer from, folks. I suffer from being blunt, because I've watched too much pain and suffering go by unnecessarily because people somehow have been led to believe and patted on their head and patted on the back of their hand and told, it's all going to get better. It's all going to get better. No, it's not. It's all going to get better. It's all going to get better. We are not going to become younger. We are not going to become less frail. It is simply not going to happen. I want to read you one passage from this book one more time. But the truth was, he didn't know what to do. That is the doctor. We were not bringing him a fixable problem. Alice was unsteady. Her memory was slipping. The problems were only going to increase. Her independence would not be sustainable for long now. He had no answers or directions or guidance. He could not even describe what to expect would happen. I can tell you what's going to happen. I see it every day. I am talking to those of you on the fence who are now living in this world, and you are living in the world of someone in your life who is failing, and you are surrounded by people who pat you on the head and tell you it's all going to be okay. No, it's not. And in some cases, it is going to end very badly. And it is going to end over a long period of deterioration and destruction and family chaos. It is the normal course of events of life. When you are born, you begin to die. When you are born, you begin to become more frail. I have been real about that for 25 years. There are lots of people that don't like it. I don't care. I'm too old to change. If you're surrounding yourself with people who have easy answers, then you have the wrong people in your life. The answers to the issues of aging are hard. They're difficult. If you have a terminal debilitating disease, it doesn't do anybody any good for an organization to pat everybody on the head and say it's all going to be okay. No, it's not. It's not going to be okay. Spend some time in nursing homes. Talk to people who really live in those nursing homes, the staff, the directors, the doctors, the nurses, and they will tell you it's not going to be okay. It's going to get worse. Bob, you're such a downer. No, I'm a realist. I know this will also happen to me. I know this will happen to my wife. I know this will happen to my children someday. We used to, as a society, be much more prepared and accepting of the reality of frailty, death, disability, and destruction. We now have this false idea, and over the last 2 weeks, I have just been confronted with it more than normal, that somehow we can just extend without consequence forever. Medicine has done that. Society has done that. This constant quest for agelessness has done that, and youth has done that. This constant belief that there's no value in old age, only in youth, has done that. But in the last couple weeks, I've also been confronted with people who are not going to get better. In fact, they're going to get a lot worse. And yet they're surrounded by people and organizations who are telling them, it's all going to be okay. Just do this and this and this. It's all going to be okay. No, it's not. I want you to look at this is like Dr. Bob today talking from an emotional standpoint, not a practical standpoint. But after 25 years of watching people walk out of my office, ignoring it and pretending it's all going to get better. Yeah, I had somebody in my office yesterday, And we're talking about a parent. And they said, well, you know, the parent, you know, fall. Oh, yeah, well, actually, she fell. She had a broken thing, and she had to do that. I said, at what point do you let her fall and hit her head, wind up with a blood clot on the brain, and die? If someone has fallen once, if someone's becoming more frail, how many of you out there really believe it's going to get better? How many of you have watched people die long, lingering, uncomfortable deaths? I guess this is kind of a clarion call for some light to shine on this and for people to begin to become realistic about it and begin to come. One of the comments Dr. Gawande makes, I don't want to reread it, I have to go find it again, is that we've now transported from staying at home to people's deaths primarily occurring in nursing homes and facilities. Everybody wants to stay at home, but nobody, and I mean nobody, plans on how to stay at home. Nobody. From our financial situation to the practical situation to who's going to take care of us to how am I going to pay for it to my finances. You know, somebody with $800,000 in a brokerage account who last year made $106. There's something wrong with that. How many of you have geared the next 10 or 15 years of your life, if you're getting older, or your mom's life, or your dad's life, to all the steps you need to take to make sure they can you can stay at home? I can't mention his name. I wish I could. But I recently took care of someone along with an elder law attorney who planned his life to the end, knew what was going to happen, had it all provided for, died at home, and it was all because he listened and he was willing to accept the fact that this was going to happen to him because he had a debilitating disease, and he died with dignity and grace to the point where his caregivers, because he had round-the-clock care at the end, and hospice were amazed at his integrity and intellect. I wish I could tell you the story of his life, but I can't. But I'm telling you right now, he's the exception, not the rule. And part of me right now is very frustrated by the people that come to see me, and I listen to what they've been told, and it's really hard to undo, you know, there's well, I'm not even going to go there. But the things that they've been told, well, I, you know, somebody was read something on the internet, and I go, so what? You read it on the internet? I can read that the sky is bleeding chocolate this morning on the internet. It doesn't mean it's true. You all know someone who's become old and frail. So I guess my question is this morning, after having read some of, I'm going to read some more of his after the break. I want to read it to you. How many of you are willing to confront your own mortality and that of your parents and your grandparents? How many of you are willing to get involved? Sons, who are the worst at this, they are wimps. You have got to get involved in your parents' life, especially your mother. I can't tell you how many people I deal with that have three sons, and it's one of the daughter-in-laws that has to make the decision about taking care of mom. Because Junior can't make the hard decisions about his mom because he never thought he was going to have to change his mom's diapers. I'm asking for you to, this morning, make a commitment to begin to get involved and actually begin to plan for your or your loved one's eventual mortality, decline, and death. I know we don't want to talk about it, but it's going to happen. Get to one of my workshops. Get in to see me. Make some plans. Do something. Break inertia at rest and take the first step forward and begin to admit that this is going to happen. Go out and read Dr. Gawande's book, Being Mortal. Get to one of my upcoming workshops. They're free. Get in to see me. It's free. But begin to take the steps necessary today and stop believing the Pollyanna-ish stuff that you are hearing about, oh, it's all going to be okay. No, it's not. It can be planned for, but it may not be okay. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. I'm going to go get some more coffee. Then we'll come back after the break. And I want to talk about this in more detail. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and sign up for one of my upcoming workshops today. Don't wait. 800-999-8007. You can also sign up that way. Give me a call. Sign up. Get to see me, but begin to take some action. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. More of assetsandaging.com, and I'm going to read you a little bit more. You'll want to stick around. Don't go away. See you back here in a second. Okay, I'm back here at Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. We've been talking about, I've just got some coffee. You'll probably hear me slurping a little bit. We've been talking about the reality of aging. And I've been sharing with you some of my frustrations. Some of you may not care. I care. Some of you have are going, you know, Bob, I still don't get it. Well, again, I'm going to try to say it again, which is we are all going to get older. We are all going to become more frail. We are all going to die. It's as simple as that. Now, whether or not we want to confront that paradigm, that I can't control that. Most people are, the vast majority of people are in complete denial about that. People don't talk about dying, they talk about if I die. Ever notice that? Well, if I were to die, what do you mean if? It's not an if. Talk to elder law attorneys. I was talking to one the other day. I won't give you all the details because, but you know, he happened to be down in probate court the other day on a conservatorship, and there was another, and it was a lady that had already been to see him, had not taken any of his advice, was now in a conservatorship, trying to become the conservator of some, a loved one's estate, and she lost, and the conservator is now somebody else. And she came to see my friend, the elder law attorney, first, who said, yeah, I can help you. And she said, oh, I don't know. I don't want to pay the money. I don't know. And in the meantime, everything went completely south, and now her loved one is conserved. Conservatorships exist because people won't do anything. Everybody thinks a conservatorship is a good thing, by the way. It's not. It's an evil thing. If you're being conserved, it means you're no longer capable of managing your own life, and a judge is going to decide who from this point on will take over your life under the control of the court and the county. Conservatorships are not a good thing. And yet, you know, I don't even know. Someday I ought to look and see how many conservatorships are just done in Sacramento County. And every one of those conservatorships is a result of the fact that a family failed to do what they needed to do early on to avoid it. A family failed to believe that that loved one or that person they cared about was really beginning to fail. Again, for the 18 years this show has been on the air and the 30 years almost I've been doing this, I'm dedicated to one thing, talking about what happens in reality. Talking about what happens in reality. I have said it on the show. I can't tell you how many people have lost their homes, have sold everything, have spent every nickel, have impoverished themselves because they refused to believe that this was going to happen. Every year in the United States, 500,000 families are rendered impoverished by the cost of one person going into a nursing home. Notice I just said a nursing home, and notice I just said one person, and notice I used the word impoverished. I have a client right now that at one point had over 400,000, now has 27,000, because when mom went into a nursing home, everybody told the child that they couldn't have a house and they couldn't keep a house and they had to spend it all down. So they sold the house and spent all that money and have gone through $400,000 because everybody else said, oh, there's nothing you can do. Having some coffee here. Trying to stay calm. I want to read you something else from Dr. Gawande's book. I'm reading from a book called Being Mortal by Dr. Atul Gawande, and I want to read this to you again. The story of aging is the story of our parts. I want you to listen to this, please. Please. The story of aging is the story of our parts. Consider the teeth. The hardest substance in the human body is the white enamel of the teeth. With age, it nonetheless wears away, allowing the softer, darker layers underneath to show through. Meanwhile, the blood supply to the pulp and the roots of the teeth atrophies, and the flow of saliva diminishes. The gums tend to become inflamed and pull away from the teeth, exposing the base, making them unstable and elongating their appearance, especially the lower ones. Experts say they can gauge a person's age to within 5 years from the examination of a single tooth, if the person has any teeth left to examine. Scrupulous dental care can help avert tooth loss, but growing old gets in the way. Arthritis, tremors, and small strokes, for example, make it difficult to brush and floss. And because nerves become less sensitive with age, people may not realize that they have a cavity and have cavity and gum problems until it's too late. In the course of a normal lifetime, the muscles of the jaw lose about 40% of their mass, and the bones of the mandible, the lower jaw, lose about 20%, becoming porous and weak. The ability to chew declines, and people shift to softer foods, which are generally higher in fermentable carbohydrates and more likely to cause cavities. By the age of 60, people in an industrialized country like the United States have lost, on average, a third of their teeth. After 85, almost 40% have no teeth at all. I'm going to continue reading. Even as our bones and teeth soften, the rest of our body hardens. Blood vessels, joints, muscles, and valves of the heart, and even the lungs pick up substantial deposits of calcium and turn stiff. Under a microscope, the vessels and soft tissues display the same form of calcium that you find in bone. When you reach inside an elderly patient during surgery, the aorta and other major vessels can feel crunchy under your fingers. Research has found that loss of bone density may be an even better predictor of death from atherosclerotic disease than cholesterol levels. As we age, it's as if the calcium seeps out of our skeletons and into our tissues. To maintain the same volume of blood flow through our narrowed and stiffened blood vessels, the heart has to generate increased pressure. As a result, more than half of us develop hypertension by the age of 65. The heart becomes thick-walled from having to pump against the pressure and less able to respond to the demands of exertion. The peak output of the heart, therefore, decreases steadily from the age of 30. Death begins a lot earlier than we thought, doesn't it? People become gradually less able to run as far or as fast as they used to, or to climb a flight of stairs without becoming short of breath. As the heart muscle thickens, muscles elsewhere thin. Around age 40, one begins to lose muscle mass and power. At age 80, one has lost between a quarter and a half of one's muscle weight. Do we wonder why people fall? You can see all these processes play out in just the hand. Now listen to this. And you do this while I'm reading it, unless you're driving. 40% of the muscle mass of the hand is in the thenar muscles, the muscles of the thumb. So it says, if you look carefully at the palm of an older person, at the base of the thumb, if you look at your hand, put your hand up, and you look at your hand, at the base of the thumb, that big muscle there, the thenar muscle, you will notice that the muscular is not bulging, but flat. In a plain x-ray, you will see speckles of calcification in the arteries and translucency of the bones, which from age 50 lose their density at a rate of nearly 1% per year. The hand has 29 joints, each of which is prone to destruction from osteoarthritis, and this will give the joint surfaces a ragged, worn appearance. The joint space collapses. You can see bone touching bone. What the person feels is swelling around the joints, reduced range of motion of the wrist, diminished grip and pain. The hand also has 48 named nerve branches. Deterioration of the cutaneous mechanoreceptors in the pads of the fingers produces less loss of sensitivity to touch. Loss of motor neurons produces loss of dexterity. Handwriting degrades. Hand speed and vibration sense decline. Using a standard mobile phone with its tiny buttons and touchscreen display becomes increasingly unmanageable. This is normal. Although the process can be slowed, diet and physical activity can make a difference. They cannot be stopped. Our functional lung capacity decreases. Our bowels slow down. Our glands stop functioning. Even our brain shrink. At the age of 30, the brain is a 3-pound organ that barely fits inside the skull. By our 70s, gray matter loss leaves our almost an inch of spare room. That's why elderly people like my grandfather are so much more prone to cerebral bleeding after a blow to the head. The brain actually rattles around inside. The earliest portions to shrink are generally the frontal lobes, which govern judgment and planning, and the hippocampus, where memory is organized. As a consequence, memory and the ability to gather and weigh multiple ideas to multitask peaks in midlife and then gradually declines. Processing speeds start decreasing well before age 40, which may be why mathematicians and physicists commonly do their best work in their youth. By age 85, working memory and judgment are sufficiently impaired that 40% of us have textbook dementia. What's my point? My point is, no longer how you slice it, no matter what you've heard, no matter what groups or organizations say who have a vested interest in letting you to believe that it's all going to be okay while they pat you on the head and take your money. It's not. We are all going to age and fail. Bob, you're such a bummer. It's such a bummer listening to you. Okay, I can accept that. But I'm also going to try to bring some modicum of reality to a world that lives in fantasy, which is that we're all going to live forever, that somehow medicine is going to allow us to live forever. I mean, look at us. We used to die off in our 50s. Now we die off in our 80s. So why not die off when we're 300? Because it doesn't work that way. Unless you're a tortoise, you're probably not going to live past, maybe 80. Yeah, some of us make it to 100. Some tortoises live to be 200. Unless you're a turtle, not going to happen. And by the way, turtles fail too. The purpose of the show today is to bring people back to some sense of reality when it comes to our families and the aging process and the ability for mom to stay at home or what's going to happen to her or dad. I'm just going to keep saying what I'm saying, and the people that care and the people that are intelligent will pay attention and will begin to do something. Others of you will listen to this and go, well, that I can't deal with that reality. I can't deal with that reality. My mom's going to live forever. My dad's going to live forever. My wife is going to live forever, or whoever it is. I can't imagine this happening to my grandma. And yet I will guarantee you that 80% listening, that's an unscientific estimate, by the way, already have somebody in your life that's going through this, and you're in complete denial. It might be you. you could be the one that's in denial. The good news in all of this is there's help available. You're listening to it. Yeah, there are lots of people who are going to tell you all kinds of stuff, and they're going to want to tickle your ears. They're going to want to tell you stories, and they're going to tell you about the guy that was whatever, and he went out and he took a vitamin, and all of a sudden, all of his problems went away, and his health improved, and I'm telling you here to tell you, he still died. I'm here to tell you, he's still, the anecdotal evidence for stuff is endless. Everybody has a story about the person that got sick and then took a vitamin or took a pill or got a treatment, and all of a sudden he was better. In the moment he was better, but the aging process, the deterioration process did not stop. Everybody wants to stay home. What is your plan? What do you mean, Bob? Well, you want to stay home. What's your plan? Well, I'm just going to stay home. Well, okay, what's your plan? Well, I'm just going to stay home. How are you going to stay home? Well, I'm going to be okay. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. Oh, I see. So it's nothing bad is going to happen to me. I get to live on the lily pad. I get to be the frog that sits on the lily pad, and food comes to me, and everything it takes, and I get to live on the lily pad. I never fall into the water. I'm just going to live on the lily pad the rest of my life, protected, insecure, and the wolves of the world can't get to me, because I'm going to live on the lily pad in the middle of the pond, and I'm going to be, you know what, the frog will eventually die. I know there's a lot of you that believe that, and I know there's a lot of you that believe that for your mom or your dad, because confronting the reality is uncomfortable. And I know it's uncomfortable. I buried my dad, I buried my mom, buried a bunch of aunts and uncles, I've buried a lot of friends. I've buried a lot of clients. And it's never fun. And it's never fun to deal with this. The biggest heroes in my life are the people I can't tell you about because I can't name their names. And they are the family members who took the hard road, who took blows, who opposed their brothers and sisters, or their parents even, and made the hard decisions to make sure that their loved one was taken care of and was safe and was warm and had the best care and the best quality of life possible. Those are my heroes, and there's lots of them. There are lots of people I just sit there in awe of at their ability to confront the reality in their family's life and to deal with it. Not because it's comfortable, not because they're looking forward to it, but because they're responsible adults and they've understood. Sometimes it takes them a while. Sometimes they get it from the beginning. They've understood the reality of what's going on and where this is going. And they are willing to make the hard choices to deal with it. And they're willing to make the wise choices, not the expedient choices, not the ones that make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, but sometimes the choices that are so unbelievably, unbearably hard that everyone in the room is crying as they make them. But they make them. I don't know what's going on in your family or your world. I know that I'm going to continue to try to live in the real world, in the world of Dr. Gawande. Again, read the book, Being, B-E-I-N-G, Being Mortal by Dr. Atul Gawande. Read it, and then read it. I've now read it 5 times. And every time I read it, I'm more convinced that I'm on the right path and that I have been for 25 years. There are lots of groups out there attempting to do stuff, lots of nonprofits, a lot of phony nonprofits, a lot of good nonprofits, a lot of mediocre nonprofits, lots of organizations, all attempting to do things. Some of them good, some of them bad, and I know all the good ones and I know all the not so good ones. Been doing this a long time. And most of them are engaged in fundraising. And most of the fundraising comes from making people feel better. You know, I did something. That's all great and that's all fine and that's all good. But at the end of the day, we still have to deal with the reality of where this life is going. Either ours or our parents or our grandparents or some other loved one. And that's hard work. And sometimes it doesn't make us feel good. I've told this audience many times that I had to put my dad in a nursing home because my mom had a stroke trying to take care of him. It did not make me feel good, but it's what had to be done. It was the reality of the circumstance because the only person I could protect was my mother, who then lived another 15 years and got to watch her children independently, by the way, because we planned for it. It was planned for. It wasn't accidental. And until she died, but she got to watch her children and grandchildren and great grandchildren grow up. It's important stuff, folks. You're confronted with it. I'm going to continue to confront you with it. And hopefully some of you will look at your situation in reality and in real time and have the courage and the intestinal fortitude to step forward and say, no, this is where we really are, and we need to change this, and here's what we need to do. You can start that process by calling me. I do consultations for free. I do family conferences for free. I do it all the time. I some people don't like what I have to say, but I'll tell you what I think from years of observation. Not from any kind of special medical training. Not from any kind of any of that kind of stuff. But from years of observation. From years of being in nursing homes and around illness and around frailty and in assisted living and watching families in denial. And then watching those brave families that are willing to sit there and make the really, 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 really hard decisions that have to be made in order to provide the best care and the best outcome possible for mom or for dad or for whoever they love. Remember, the best outcome does not always mean we just get to live forever. It has a lot to do with quality of life. It has a lot to do with safety. I can't tell you the number of children who won't intervene even though they've known their mom has fallen every 3 days. Because they don't want to make her uncomfortable. Well, how safe is it to continue to watch your mom fall knowingly and not intervene? Well, my mom doesn't want me to intervene. Grow up! Your mother and father raised you to be responsible adults. If you know it's not, if it's not responsible for them to continue to live in that situation, then grow up and take charge. Make the hard decisions, sons in particular. Get involved in your parents' lives. You're the responsible adult now. It may not be your mom and dad or your grammy or your grampy. I sit with people all the time and I'm observing that grandma's demented. And who are they all asking permission of? Grandma. Before they do anything, and they want to make sure it's okay with grandma. And grandma has dementia. It's hard, and I'm going to keep calling people to make real decisions in the real world with real knowledge, compassion, but also operating where you are. 800-999-8007. Get in to see me. If your family's beginning to go through this or already in the middle of it or wherever the stage is, get in to see me. If I can't fix it, after almost 30 years of doing this, I have lots of people I can refer you to who can fix it. There's a process to this. And you go through the process. And you start at step one, and then you go to step two, and step three, and step four. Bob, 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 what's the process? It's different for every person. But there's a general process that you go through. And at the end, hopefully, If everybody's been willing to make the hard decisions, we can arrive at a conclusion that will work for your family. Get to one of my workshops. You can go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com, ASSETSANDAGING, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up for one of my workshops. You can listen to my radio shows. You can do all those things. You can get help. You can get information. If you're looking for real answers, if you just want somebody to pat you on the head and say it's all going to be okay, that's not me. If you want someone who will work with you to make the hard decisions for your family, to make sure that you can stay at home, that your assets are protected, that you get to keep and pass on to your loved ones what you worked a lifetime for, then I'm your guy. If you just want somebody to tell you it's all going to be okay, then I'm not your guy. If you're ready to sit down and get serious about your life or the life of a loved one, 800-999-8007. I have some upcoming workshops. Make sure you look at my webpage. My first workshop ever in Elk Grove is coming up. So make sure you go to assetsandaging.com, sign up for a workshop, get in to see me, call me for an appointment, but begin to make a difference in your family's life. We are all mortal, but we can make decisions along the way that will help ease the path. 800-999-8007. For Assets and Aging, your host, Bob Scrivano here. Give me a call when you can. Look forward to seeing you at a workshop. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day.